This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But this is the warm, occasionally, cool, occasionally, voice of your local announcer calling you from wherever place I happen to have wandered myself. Hope I can find my way home. It's not a sure thing, though, you know. You sit down and you think you know where you're going to be next and where you'll be able to get a leg on somebody else who's kind of in the same job that you are. And then what do you find? Everybody's doing the same old stuff.
A pretty lady sitting in front of you.
But not here. And that's, I was going to get to that, but we're sitting right across from me, letting me know after I just learned that I was supposed to do a bunch of commercials here. And they couldn't do it for some reason. I mean, just, you know, things like that happen all the time. So what do I do? But, well, I'm going to talk to her, right? Because she's sitting there. And why would I not want to talk to her? It's Allie.
Yes.
Allie, I got it right today.
You did. You know what?
Yesterday,
I
got it.
You can say my name wrong as many times as you want.
But get a load of this. Wait, is this your husband or your...
Kyle is my husband.
Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kale is somebody different.
Kale is my son who turned
Kale,
five
okay.
this week.
I knew I had it confused there. I'm sorry about that.
Nope. But you got it right.
It's a good thought. And then Criollo, which is another story from a little bit later.
Yes.
And
good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. I said that for their behalf, on their behalf. It's time for the food show. We're going to do mostly food.
But can we do a song first?
Oh, sure.
Can we do the song? Y'all, we
have
to give you a song. I do. Every time. Hey, y'all. Allie Loft and the Oyster Lady. Tom and I were kicking it yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say really quick, Doug, before we start the song, is, Tom, I have to retract a statement that I have made before.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
A minor retraction here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to rewrite it.
Okay.
I have said before that callers are not indicative of quality of content of the show. Meaning,
well, let's hope not.
Meaning in lesser terms that we can have a great show of lively discussion and have guests on and kind of really be in the middle of our conversation. And maybe people are just out there listening. They want to absorb. They want to take in what we're talking about and the discussion. And maybe they're not ready to call in. But I think we had five callers in the second half of the show yesterday.
It was a busy show yesterday.
Y'all, thank you so much. I'm going to retract the statement that I've made before and say that, you know, well, first of all, I love callers. I love talking to you guys. But I loved it more than even I thought I did before, if that makes sense. Like, I love coming here and talking about food with you, and we really dig into some issues, and I think we get caught up that the whole show goes by for 2 hours. And it's like, poof. But then we had five callers yesterday, Tom, and I loved it.
All of a sudden. You know, here is all of what you say is true. Here is one thing you can really live by, though. The least interesting subject on a radio talk show is the show itself. And when you find yourself talking about the program, you got nothing. So... I'd rather not talk to about. Somebody was asking me about something on the show from this was about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
No, it was longer than that. It's about 5 months ago, and he just kept going on and on and on. You know, what kind of clothes do you wear while you're doing your show? Yeah, so it's radio. Who cares? You know, it's just
right.
So
you hope your voice is dressy, your attire.
You are getting into the early bides of the radio talk show business. So I'm not trying to be a teacher or anything like that.
No, I like this. I'm always here to, that's why I come here to learn things from you.
But you see, what I'm doing right now is exactly what I said not to do.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, then I'm just going to say this. Hey, y'all out there for calling yesterday, and I'm going to name you because you guys really made the show awesome yesterday. Sal, Pat, Gregory, Alan. Missing one more. Somebody else called in yesterday.
Yeah.
You all made the show. You all are a hoot. You bring such interesting things up. Stephen. Stephen was the fifth.
All right.
Thank you all. It was awesome.
Thank you very much. And let's see. Where shall we start? What's the song? Oh, is this the Beach Boys thing?
Yeah. Can we do it? Can you hit
a
it?
A little bit of...
You got me rocking and a rolling, rocking and a reeling, Marianne. Went to a dance, looking for romance. All right. Tom and I always have to do a song when we
come
on.
Yeah, it's part of the shtick now.
Yeah.
So we're always happy.
Because I feel like it demonstrates how kooky
Kookiness
really
has...
It's on the kooky oyster.
You know, towards the end of the program yesterday, we got to talking about cocktails.
Yes.
And one after another. And you made a mention about the Manhattan cocktail.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I think I read somewhere... that the Manhattan cocktail is considered by a lot of people who love to eat a good or who drink a good cocktail,
mm-hmm.
that this is really the one that sets the standard for everything and everybody else.
Okay.
So if you...
That's a highfalutin cocktail.
It really is, and you've got it in your hand there, and it's thick enough to fill. How many?
All about one drink. Okay, this uh-huh. is... I told Tom I wanted to borrow this. This is how many pages is this, Tom?
Yeah, take a look at the last one. We'll tell you.
200 pages.
200 pages on the subject of one cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island too. It's glory. I'm taking you. I can never remember the words.
The story of the first modern cocktail with recipes. Philip Green.
Philip Green.
Do you know anything about him? You read this book?
If it's the same guy I'm thinking of, he used to operate out of New Orleans, and he was a cocktail expert. I don't know if it's the same guy, but we had a couple of cocktail lounges like that back in the 1990s.
I think we're reviving that. I think this whole trend is coming it's kind of been here, but it's really building up speed, which is just very bars with just centered around one particular type of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why
whiskey
not?
Whiskey bars.
But there's
Absinthe.
One thing I need to have.
Oh, yes?
It's got to taste good.
Yes.
Because there's such a thing as a just nothing cocktail. You go in there and they add a little
Tom
of this.
Tom calls that vodka.
Little of this. A little of this, a little of that. You take a sip of it and it just sits there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like drinking water. Or smelling. You know, for a long time, there was a federal standard for vodka. And as a matter of fact, on a lot of liquors that were used to make cocktails.
Yes.
And the standard was that in order to be called vodka, it had to be a colorless, so no color at all,
right.
Just see through it.
Yeah.
No flavor, with no flavor. And no aroma.
Tom's making this stuff
I am
up.
Not
You're
making
so
it. Full I am
it.
Not making it up. When you get that book at home, look it up.
I'm going to read it.
And I always said, if you ever needed a reason to know,
I think at this point in your career, you get to make things.
Yeah, it's.
You're right. I'm sure you're right, but that's funny.
Well, I mean, there are so many other things. If you want to, it's like. If you listen to, there's so much bad music in the market these days.
Yes, there is.
Why would you listen to any of it when there's all this? There's all this Beethoven. There's all this great rock stuff. There's Beach Boys and the entire range of it.
Right.
But
I'm going to take this home. This is part of my edification.
I actually saw the Beach Boys.
Did you?
I did.
How were they as performers?
Gulfport.
In Gulfport?
In Gulfport, yeah.
Recently or like back in the day?
No, I was, let's see, that would have been around, I remember I had a girlfriend back then.
Oh, well, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Because you've been married 30 years.
Yeah. But anyway,
do you remember one of the songs that was out
then?
It
was everything you've ever heard. And you know what? It's easy to predict what's going to be the last song that's done in the set.
Is it?
And that's their always their best hit.
Oh, their best song.
So what would that be? That's it's so obvious you're not going to have
Well, I know almost all their songs.
Okay, well, what was their big monster of a hit?
I don't know 30 years ago, Tom. I'm only 35.
Oh. Well, let's put that out and see if anyone has some opinions.
Doug, can you help us out, the Oracle all-knowing, all-seeing? Oh, man, he's going to let us fail. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah. But,
well, so... We're in the holidays.
We're in the holidays. Yes, we are.
And
I see some voices and people.
They probably want to come hang out with us.
There's a little window out there, and I'm watching people come and go.
It's December. The holidays are here.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask if there was anything special that you did on a regular basis that amplified your... Okay, for all y'all bah humbug, isn't that the right? For all y'all bah humbugs out there, maybe you didn't do anything special. But when you're in the food business, we celebrate with food about as often as we can.
Amen. A wonderful observation.
So
essential to me.
Is there anything special you did differently during the holidays? Or can you recount one of the most spectacular holiday celebrations you went to and why?
Well, this time around, it was another iteration of a kind of a Mardi Gras, excuse me, not Mardi Gras.
Christmas?
Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving. The very first one of which, my parents always did the turkey, the whole thing.
Right.
And everybody else in my family's family before we got married, and then her family was equally interested in bringing in all the traditional turkeys and
right.
You know, all the rest of it. And when it came to my being old enough and having kids, you know, who would sit still long enough.
Is that key?
It's important. But once you reach that age and you have something for them to eat— the kids, mostly, and also the old-timers.
Yes.
You have to take care of the old-timers, because if they don't have something that they recognize,
okay.
And there's nothing...
What is an old-timer?
An old-timer is someone...
No, I know what it is, but, like, is there an age? Like, at what age do you arrive at
different,
old-timer
different
age?
For different people, but just based on my experience so far, I would say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 65.
Okay, 65 plus.
Well, you know, if it's going to go higher than that, well, God bless them,
right.
And good luck.
Okay, so
and
you did something special with your family. What were the special things that you did?
This was something where my cookbook had fairly recently come out. It was about maybe
okay.
a year
Which
old.
Which one?
Tom Fitzmaurice's New Orleans Food.
Okay.
It's right to the point.
Yes.
You know? And after I did that, and for that, right after that, the next time we did a major season, a holiday season, that we were playing all the best stuff in there. There was the ham glazed,
the ham, root beer glazed ham.
Root beer glazed ham.
Yep.
Which became the most, the one that people ask me about most. And then we did the one that we did with cheesecake with Satsuma in it has come to be my favorite way of doing it. And then we did
menu.
All these other things. Marianne, of course, would make her macaroni and cheese and great towering towers. And we had that, and she loves that. And then lots and lots and lots of side dishes.
Mm-hmm.
But of all of the characteristics of an early family early in the throes of its being a family, the one that you got to watch out for most is that it is almost inevitable that you will make way, way too much food.
Oh, my goodness.
Not
yes.
only that, you're going to have some insanely huge amount of leftovers.
Yes.
And everybody's going to say, oh, I love leftovers, excuse me, not leftovers. And most of the time, people just have a lot of low things, and they either give it to the dog or they
right.
just throw it out. Except for one person I know.
Oh.
My wife
okay.
is a...
Leftover queen.
An absolutely dedicated person to the idea of... of leftovers. She just loved. I think she likes them better than she likes those.
Once again, you have proven that Marianne and I share very similar brains because
you do?
We do.
Wait a minute.
Love
brains
leftovers. Where our brains are on the same brain
wave. Oh, okay.
Yeah, our brains are on the same brain wave.
Tom takes a lab. Never mind.
I feel the same way about leftovers. But yeah. Did you do any like special thing besides food, like an activity that made the holidays like the holidays?
There have been several of them over the years especially for the holidays. We are lucky enough to live on a plot of land
in the country
that's mostly grassy and also a lot of trees and mm-hmm. everything. It's very rustic.
Did you cut down your own Christmas tree?
No.
Oh.
We don't have the kind you want.
Oh, okay.
But we did get it from the guy up the street
okay.
and throw it on the back of his. So anyhow, where was I with that?
We've already run into our first break.
Yeah, this I can finish. Da da boo da ba da bing bang.
Activities that you do for holidays when we get
the holidays. Well, you let me. I'm going to resume that mm-hmm. on the other side of the break, and we'll be back with more of the food show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, 260-6368. We'd love to hear from you, no matter what it is you want to sing or talk about. But first, please, not having good luck with our harmonies here.
We're not? I thought that sounded good.
No, keep it going. We have to hit at least one.
We got to hear the songs.
No, okay.
Doug
says no, and when he says
The Wizard of Oz just spoke and said no.
Yeah.
You're a tease, Doug.
Then the time I went to actually saw the Beach Boys in Gulfport a bunch of years ago. I'm sure they did that, but that's not their most famous and most successful song.
All right, Doug, challenge
what do you
is
think
on each
it is?
Break. Just, I want to come back.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows, and he's going to pop it in there and play it.
Yeah. Yo, I wish you could hear Doug more often. He's a hoot. Okay, all right, we're back.
All right.
105.3 FM HD2, Mr. Food. And Allie Lofton, the kooky oyster broad. And again, even just a half an hour in, I'm cracking up in this show.
Well, you know, we're here to have fun.
It's a show of pleasure.
Up until a little while ago, I didn't realize it was Friday.
Right. You know what? I feel like that's the beauty of kind of like your job in that, first of all, this is probably the best job in the city. You probably have the best job, literally, in the city.
I like to think that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Humble over there.
Well, you know, what can I say?
Yes, the best job in the city. And I don't think it matters knowing what day it is, because this is the best job in the city. Mm-hmm. So you can talk about food in the city whenever.
True, true, true.
But what we were talking about, and I had posed to Tom, was special things that you do during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
That make the experience, like, obviously kids love gifts, and you're trying to teach them what to appreciate about the holidays than just the gifts. So here's some things that mm-hmm. my family and I
All
are
right.
going to do.
Okay.
So it was my son Kale's fifth birthday this mm-hmm. week, and Kale.
Oh, what fun!
If you're out there listening with Momo right now, he's spending the night with Momo. Happy birthday. Happy fifth birthday. I love you. Best thing that ever happened to me.
This is true of all, it seems to me, all children.
Yes. Best thing that ever happened to me. So I love you. Happy birthday. And we are going tomorrow, per Marianne's encouragement and suggestion, to Brennan's
mm-hmm.
for brunch.
And for watching the turtle.
Mm-hmm. And running around the courtyard in what I hope to be some gorgeous weather. Mm-hmm. Because kids need rooms to move.
Should be a lovely day tomorrow.
You know?
A little cold, but a lovely
day. So they're going to host us over there. And then we are going to the Christmas parade that runs from the French Quarter into the CBD. And, hey, if anybody out there has been to the Christmas parade or anything else that you're doing, anything else that you do that makes the holidays special and the whole experience of food and eating and family, right? Because that's what we're here to talk about, like the whole experience around food. So we're going to eat tomorrow at Brennan's. We're going to the Christmas parade. We're going to see Santa. We're going to catch all the beads. We're going to drink milk punch made famous by the Brennan's. And that recipe. So we're making all that. And then on Sunday, we're going to go cut down our own Christmas tree.
Oh.
And I asked
Tom. Where are you getting the tree?
Country Pines Christmas
Country
tree.
Country Pines.
In
Where
Covington.
Is that? In Covington.
Yep.
So out in the kind of woodsy
yes.
part.
Yes. Yeah. Which Tom then said.
I think there's a good chance, and I would ask about this.
I'm going to. I wrote it down.
I'll bet you I know
Nash.
The answer. You ought to ask them, is this the Christmas tree lot that used to be owned by Nash Roberts?
Did anybody out there, or has anybody out there, bought a Christmas tree from Nash Roberts?
Nash Roberts. I'll bet you between now and the end of this half hour of our program,
someone will call and tell us.
Someone
this.
Will call and they say, oh, gosh, that's the only guy I ever bought a Christmas tree from was mm-hmm. at Nash Roberts. Mm-hmm. Nash Roberts was the guy on TV who would give weather forecasts.
And where does this information live in your head? How do you... Wait,
beats me.
You know what? Your brain must be gigantic because the amount of
information... No, just my ego. Just had to put that in for people who are thinking it. So anyway, so here is Nash Roberts.
Wait, did he own a lot of lots?
Yes. Oh. He had done
well,
very
well. Somebody out there listening has bought a tree off Nash Roberts' lot.
But he, a lot of people would come over from their house on the South Shore and take it all the way across
well,
the lake.
Well, that's what we're going to go do. And it is going to be, do you remember the movie Christmas Vacation? Did
no.
you end up growing up watching that? Chevy Chase?
No.
Okay. All right. You Sorry. Missed out then. All right. We're going to revisit it. I'm going to tell Marianne. I'm sure Mary Lee's seen it. So they go, the movie starts
Wait, before we stop.
Yes.
If you bought or even almost bought a Christmas tree from Nash Roberts, call
yes.
us up and tell us about it. I haven't heard anybody talking about him
in a
while. He's passed away for quite
a
while.
Okay. All right.
But he was.
I'm sure his lots have to continue on.
It probably has gone a few
Didn't
more.
Didn't you tell me he had a lot of acreage? Like,
yeah, I get it. A lot of acreage. That's good. All right. We'll come back. Were we asked to take a break?
No break.
And we still haven't been, right?
Okay. We're good.
Okay. 260-6368. In case you have answers to these questions.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to go cut down a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
So on the movie, Christmas Vacation,
yes.
it starts with them driving out to a lot.
A lot
to
of
cut
what?
A lot of trees.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To cut down their own Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
I did this as a child.
Yeah.
Okay. I grew up in Kansas, all right? Lots of acreage.
Ponca City, Oklahoma, anywhere around there?
Close to there. The very southern part of Kansas, very
yeah.
bottom.
Yeah.
So we would drive and go cut down our own Christmas tree. My dad would bring the saw and we would walk. And my dad and I were very particular about this. Okay. We're super type A, like very particular, if you haven't picked up on that about me yet. So we would walk and walk and walk through all of these rows and walk around the entire tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire tree to find no holes. Okay. Can't have holes.
No, no.
Anywhere. Especially if you have a tree that can be seen from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would, so we're looking for that first. Then we're looking for height. And then you have to get down on the ground and examine whether the trunk is crooked.
Oh, you wouldn't want that unless you were.
Unless you wanted like a Dr. Seuss Christmas tree or something.
My bride, Marianne.
Yes.
She always had a tree in there when.
Do you guys have real trees? Only real trees? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, are you all a real tree or a fake tree people?
But even when she was still living at home and not yet married, she and the rest of her family, they always had one. It was essential. They were going to
real
have
real tree.
A real tree.
Yes.
And it was going to be surrounded by a party of family and everybody's going to have a great time and eat some funny little food, and the kind of things. All the traditional things. And to this day, if you had Marianne sitting in front of you, and I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't do it right any second now, she would tell you that, of course, you know, this is what you do to make you feel like you're really part of life and living.
Right. So you go cut down your own tree. You got to make sure the trunk isn't crooked.
The trunk? Oh, yeah.
On the tree.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Okay,
she
right.
and her family didn't seem to give a damn about that. And
is it always crooked?
My mother, on the other hand, my mother wanted Christmas trees to be absolutely perfect.
I like your mother.
Completely perfect. My poor dad, he had to he didn't drive a car, so he had a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just get them over, and he'd keep tilting it this way and then this way and mm-hmm. then a little bit towards him and another bit away from him. And my poor dad was just like, what
Until
do I have
wrecked.
To do
perfect.
To get this woman to take this kid? Anyway.
That is my husband with me. And
yeah.
Okay, so just one more thing before we move on to my next question, which is about fruitcake,
mm-hmm.
right? One year.
Yeah.
The first year my husband and I were together.
Yeah.
And got a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I insisted, honey, if you're listening out there, he knows this story, and he knows I won't let him live it down. Okay?
Now, that's not my fault, I'm going to run if it's too macabre.
Here it comes.
Okay.
We went and bought our first Christmas tree together.
All right.
And he had a truck.
Yeah.
Okay. But I explained to him, and he didn't know this, because they grew up with fake Christmas trees. Fake Christmas trees, y'all. I don't know.
Mm.
Blasphemy. Okay. So we buy it. We put it in the truck. And when he goes to get it out, he doesn't climb up into the bed and get it out. He tries to grab the trunk of it, the bottom of it, and pull it out. And he snaps the top
mm.
of my Christmas tree.
And did he ever recover?
And I hear it. And in very dramatic fashion, I instantly burst into tears.
Hey, I can believe you.
I have to tell y'all the rest of this story when we get back. Yeah. Then we're going to talk about fruitcake.
It's the food show.
And Tom's fruitcake.
And some other things, too. We still haven't gotten back to our
we'll
friends
get there.
Over at Nash Roberts. I'm looking around for anybody who remembers. You don't have to have bought a tree from him or anything, but Nash Roberts, he used to sell Christmas trees, and that was most of a little bit of his time. And the rest of the year, he sold Christmas trees. And he was also the weatherman on Channel 6 for a million years.
We'll tell you about it when we get back.
We're doing a somewhat, maybe more than somewhat, edition of our program today. We invite you to it. If it sounds a little bit offbeat, you're right, it does. But Allie is here, and we have been talking about comfort food and comfort stuff and families and Christmas and all of the holidays and in a whole bunch of different ways. And that's, I must tell you, I found it more than a little entertaining. So thank you for being here with us. I'd love to hear from anybody out there who has some thoughts about putting together your Christmas dinner, a party you might be having at your house or maybe in somebody else's house.
And your traditions.
And all the traditions that you have in your family. Everybody's got different.
Do you have food traditions? Like, is there something only specially made for Christmas, for the Christmas dinner or the Christmas
mm-hmm.
party?
Well, it is at my house.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the things you hear me talk about all the time. The root beer glazed ham.
Yes.
I'm real proud of that.
Right. So those things are only done for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And no other time
well,
of the
Well, if someone
year.
Asks me for it, I'd
okay,
do it.
Okay, you'll do
it's,
it.
It's fortunately, you don't have to tend it a lot. You get it going in the kitchen. You stick the thermometer to see mm-hmm. what your temperature is inside.
Right.
And if that's right, you know, you're good. You put it on, and then you slice it, and bang, bang, bang. Everybody loves it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just to finish, he yanked it out of the truck. He broke the top of the Christmas tree.
Oh, this is your dad?
This is my husband,
Your
Kyle.
Husband, okay.
Our first Christmas
Close
together.
Close enough to a dad, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Our first Christmas together. He yanks it out of the truck. He breaks the top of it. I burst into tears because it's our first Christmas away from our families. And he decides, in order to salvage it, that he is going to wrap twine around the top of it to keep the top tip attached to the rest of the tree. And water it in somehow hoping that it will grow or attach itself back to the tree. I don't know. But we were going with this. It's like family traditions, mm-hmm. holiday traditions. Yeah. And then next up, which we missed yesterday, comfort food.
Comfort food. Yeah, okay. We were talking about that this
comforting
evening.
Comforting things. Comforting, you know, mm-hmm. holiday traditions. So I asked Tom before we started today, what are the parameters for comfort food?
You know, that's, it's hard. You, I don't
Do
think you,
you find
can
broccoli
nail that.
Comforting?
Broccoli comforting?
No.
I like broccoli, but I like it cooked a long time, longer than most people like.
Right. So the parameters for comfort food.
Yeah, yeah. I think you get it done your way. It's like going out and getting a hamburger or a steak even, and you always tell them how you want it. And when you're happy, when they can deliver that, and most restaurants can deliver whatever it is you want, and it comes out the way you want, well, bang, there's your...
I feel like it should feed your soul, though.
Feed your soul.
Like comfort food... When you eat it, and this is what I was talking with Tom about, is you don't put your fork in a piece of broccoli, in a floret of broccoli, and eat it and just roll your eyes into the back of your head and think, my God, this is one of the best things I ever ate.
Wow. Does that happen to you often?
Yes.
Good for you. Lucky.
But so it has to feed your soul. It has to make you feel a certain way.
And have you ever actually achieved this?
Yes.
Well, good. Lucky you.
So
tell everybody you know about it. And especially when they're complaining, take them out. Get that book with all the cocktails in it.
Yes.
Go to a bar somewhere. You're only going to drink one each. Okay? One is my limit.
Uh-huh.
And then tell how your life has changed and their life has changed in their own way. Or, you know, I don't know how you want it to change, but exactly.
Well, what's your favorite comfort food?
My favorite comfort food is to take a nap at an inappropriate time. Well, maybe not.
You're lying.
I'm not. No, I take a nap at least twice a day.
That is not your comfort food.
Oh, that's your night. You're right.
Not
it's not
comfortable.
Food. I'm sorry. I missed that. I missed that aspect of it.
You're eating, what's your Mary Ann's is mac and cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we know that.
Okay.
That
but
and
what
hamburgers.
Is Tom's favorite comfort food?
My favorite food, period. With no other qualifiers, no.
Qualifiers.
Qualifiers, yeah.
Yep.
Baked oysters, that's a very generic term. So here's mm-hmm. what comes under it.
Mm-hmm.
Arnaud's, Antoine's.
Yep.
Pascal's Manali, I'm
What's
sorry.
What's your topping?
I'm going to get to that
okay.
in a second.
Okay, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Let's see, who else have I left off?
I think you've hit the major players.
Let's just stop it at six of them, but I... They are. Here's what they all have in common. They are baked oysters, and at the bottom of it is the shell.
Yes.
It isn't necessarily going to be the same oyster that the shell came from that oyster over here instead of this one. There's a lot of swapping back and forth.
Yeah.
So there's, here are the five, Rockefeller, Bienville, charcoal broiled.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's over at Arnaud's, they actually have,
they have
five different ways that they do it.
Yes.
And every time I go to Arnaud's, I get that five different oysters platter every time. I love that. I think
that's your comfort food.
It's a comfort food, but it's also an exciting food. It's also one that is unique and very local, and it is just delicious. I mean, it's not a classy restaurant without that, for me.
Is it a comfort food? Like, okay, if you if that's your comfort food and you went and made those, like, is it only a comfort food if you go out and eat it? Or do you make it at home and it still is a comfort food?
You know, I just had a thought that answers that question and also would answer questions you've also dropped on us before. Mm-hmm. Your comfort food is the food
that feeds your soul.
Well, that isn't the way I was going to put it, but I'll accept that.
Okay.
Where it's your comfort food when you just... Now, I had this all figured out.
I mean, it takes you to a place. That's what we talked about. Like, so you're eating it, and it almost takes you to a good memory.
It's not necessarily a memory, even. It's just when it touches you and when you really enjoy it. I mean, that's it. But I had a great little phrase here, and
that's all right. It'll come to us.
It'll come back to us. I hope.
In the perfect timing. So, okay. So it has to feed your soul.
Yep.
It has to...
And your body, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it has to take you to a place, like either a memory or something like that. Mine... Oh, Sal's back.
Okay. Continue.
Sal is here.
Sal, okay. Well, I was going to let you finish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
continue,
Sal.
Allie.
Okay, so it takes you to a place, right? Broccoli doesn't take me to a place. And my favorite is stuffing. And in fact, so much so that I only want to have it during Thanksgiving and Christmas because it's so special to me and I've made it so much a part of those experiences that I save it. Literally mean I savor it. I save it for those times of the year because it means so much to me during those times of the year. Like, that is literally comfort food to me.
Oh, yeah. How many of us fall in love with things that we had when we were young? That could be anything from a parent to a toy to friendships. And it all comes together. And, you know, tying it all together, food.
Which is also why, if you don't do a good stuffing, I'm bringing my own stuffing to your party. If you tell me that we're doing a box stuffing, I'm going to tell you that we.
We can do better than that.
Okay, so Sal, hi.
Thank y'all for taking my call, especially. I didn't know if I was going to be welcomed back after yesterday.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. We've moved on past that. Come on in, Sal.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I wanted to give a restaurant report today, but I'm really enamored by the conversation topic now, and I have to agree with you, Allie. The different variations of stuffings, dressings, and casseroles at holiday time are something that definitely brings me to a place, to a state of mind, and definitely feeds the soul because it brings back great memories of so many people who... Some I still see, some I miss because of death and you know, being deceased. And it's just a great thing to share with other people. And it's definitely more than just physical sustenance, no doubt.
You
and
know what? You really took
so
it to
far,
the next level there. You're absolutely right. Like, it reminds you of most people that aren't with you anymore because maybe somebody that was with you used to make it, and now somebody else has to pass it. So what's yours?
Yeah, there it is.
You know, my brother-in-law's grandmother, who's no longer with us, my parents, who are no longer with us, they used to make the, you know, stuffed merlot and the eggplant casseroles at holiday time, and they varied between the shrimp and the ham and spinach madeleine and oyster dressing.
That's talk about a biggie. That salad dressing that you just mentioned, boy, talk about something popular.
Spinach madeleine?
Spinach madeleine.
I don't know about that one.
It's not a salad.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong about that. It's
a side, right?
It's a side or a warm, yeah.
It's a casserole, and I make it more often than on the holidays, but usually probably once a year outside of the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sal, are you in your car?
I am. Do you need me to pick up the phone?
Yeah, can you pick up the phone and get us a little closer? I can hear you, but I can definitely tell that you're further away, and I want to hear more of what you're saying.
All right.
Oh,
now?
Perfect. That's better? Much better. Yep.
Okay. So the restaurant report, my wife and I went to lunch today because she's now doing 3 days a week on the North Shore instead of going to the CBD 5 days a week.
Oh, great.
And we were able to sneak away and do a little lunch at Lola. And, boy, that was our first time there, and it was spectacular, even though what we had was—
Lola for lunch?
Yes.
Yeah. If I may intrude a minute here for a second. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Lola in the evening, you will see a new profile of that. It is a wonderful restaurant. I'm not as crazy about the lunches, but there's a reason for that. That whole neighborhood is filled with attorneys and people working for the
the
cops and the...
Is this on St. Charles? Are we talking about...
No, this is in Covington.
Lola, not Nola.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I missed that.
But it's... But if you ever go for dinner over there, it's a knockout. They're all in old railroad cars.
What type of food is it?
It's New Orleans, you know, hip Creole cooking.
Okay.
Real good quality ingredients.
A more eclectic version of it. The owners used to work at Brennan's.
Brennan's, right.
And in fact, I was, and Tom, you and I are on the same page with this because we went for lunch, but I immediately asked the guy, I said, let me see one of your dinner menus because I really am interested in coming for dinner one night in the near future. And you're right, the dinner menu looks exquisite.
Yeah,
it
you'll
really
love
does.
It. You'll really have a good time with that one.
So what'd you have?
I had the grilled salmon salad, which was delicious.
That's mm-hmm. that's Marianne's favorite.
And my wife had, and it was a special on the menu board, mm-hmm. smoked speckled trout.
Mm-hmm. I love smoked fish. Mm,
that's different.
It was really good. And we tasted each other's, and we split a cup of the truffle and goat cheese soup. And it was absolutely to die for. It was
decadent.
The best soup I've ever eaten in a restaurant. It really was.
Wonderful. Thanks for the report.
And the dessert, of course, was hummingbird cake.
Hummingbird cake. What? Well, tell me what that is. It's familiar, but I can't remember exactly.
Pineapple, right? Is that correct, Sal? Pineapple?
No, it's not pineapple. It's an old traditional Southern living recipe made with allspice, nutmeg, nuts, and it's got somewhat of a nutty flavor, either from bananas or something else other than that. And it's topped with a cream cheese, white icing. And it was, my wife made it about 6 months ago for us, and the pan lasted about 4 hours in our house.
That sounds delicious.
But we split one today, and it was, she said it was better than hers, but I think hers is just as good, if not better.
How long has the restaurant been around, Tom?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say at least 10 years, I'm thinking.
Really?
It might not be that long. Let's be a little more conservative with this. About 5 years.
Do you live on the North Shore, Sal?
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't know.
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. But we're probably going to make our way over to the city soon because we want to take the kids to Celebration and the Oaks and the Roosevelt and take in all of the holiday spirit.
So is that some of the stuff that y'all do to kind of accent your holiday time is going to the events?
Yeah, we missed the actual lighting of the lobby because one of our kids had an activity that they had practice. It's their Christmas play, and he had to go to his dress rehearsal that evening, so we had to miss the lighting of the lobby at the Roosevelt. So we were planning on going sometime soon. And just taking in the holiday cheer of the city of New Orleans.
Well, we're going to the parade tomorrow, me and my family.
Really?
Uh-huh. We're going to the Christmas parade tomorrow on Saturday after we do Brennan's. And I'm excited for that, catching all the beads, seeing Santa riding the float. So that's what we're doing to kind of kick it off.
Stairs where?
Unfortunately, we're going to have to miss that, too. We've got so much going on tomorrow.
Well, that's a good thing.
Enjoy it. I hope y'all have a great weekend.
Thank
and I'll
you.
Be back in touch. Thank you
very
you
much.
Too, Sal.
Nice hearing from you.
Bye.
It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. With us also is Allie.
Yes.
I'll get this yet.
It's
one
fine.
Of these days.
That's all right.
I'm still waiting. I'm very surprised at this.
Nash.
Nash Roberts. Nash Roberts was the guy who did the
Christmas tree farms.
Well, he did that. He was in the business of selling Christmas trees. But he also was very, very well known as the weatherman on Channel 6 for a really long time. I'm not talking about, 3 weeks or something. It was more like around 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just one of those. He was iconic. Really, he was. I mean, there are a lot of things and people who say they're iconic. Nash Roberts was iconic, no doubt.
If anybody out there bought a tree off Nash Roberts' tree farm,
if you even heard of him once, give us a call. I'm surprised that we haven't rounded up even one, because I know he's not alive anymore.
Mm-hmm. But how long not alive? Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I really don't know. But he's he is held in pretty good reputation from the people who lived here in those days. But anyway, I'm surprised that we wouldn't get at least a couple of them. Nash Roberts, folks, remember him? You've got to. I'm sure you do.
Okay, well, I have another Christmas tree iconic dessert, if you will, that Tom said he cooked.
Yeah.
Fruitcake.
Fruitcake. Like,
Did you make fruitcake?
I never did, because I knew too many places to get it, and it's a lot of work to do. And not everybody likes it to begin with.
Does
I do
anybody
like, it.
Like fruitcake?
I do.
You do?
I do.
You're lying.
The ones that, they're made in great numbers here in Louisiana now.
Really?
Yeah, there's a one operation. They are pretty close to the Superdome. They used to be where Chisasi was.
Oh, Chisasi before they moved
with
out
the hams.
In Jefferson?
Yeah, well, it was a hurricane-related thing. And anyway...
Make a lot here in New Orleans.
They make a lot of fruitcake here in New Orleans, and they really do make it here, and they sell it all over the country.
Okay, so
the store that I found that has it most reliably is Winn-Dixie.
Okay, you like it?
I do like it.
Does anybody out there like fruitcake?
Let's see.
260-6368.
There are a lot of people who don't.
I do not like fruitcake.
Well, I'm keep yours, and you can eat whatever you want. Go right ahead.
Okay. Eggnog.
Eggnog.
Do you ever make your own?
All the time. And here's the critical touch to great eggnog. You know?
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking you.
Cook it yourself from scratch.
Yes.
Very slowly.
Okay.
And let it just steam there, and it will take days.
Excuse me?
Days. It will take days.
Days.
D-A-Y-S.
Yeah, I got that part. Why days?
Because all of the elements in it have to kind of, they're drawing themselves to a close, but at the same time, they're expanding. And they have a little bit of whiskey in them, too.
Yep.
Most of them do.
A lot
and
of whiskey for me.
So, okay. no one's stopping you. I'll have to ask Nash Roberts about that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so
where
slow
were we with, that?
With eggnog.
Yeah.
A good recipe for eggnog.
Eggnog, and it's sort of like ones that have been, you ever go to a Mexican restaurant, and they always have at the end of the meal, they have flan.
Yep.
Well, you can't really do a custard, not a custard cake, but a fruit cake without some of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
So I have a poll.
A poll. Okay.
A poll. Okay. Are you a eggnog man?
Yeah.
Or a milk punch man?
Oh no, I'm an egg. Yeah.
We'll come back to that.
We will.
Take us off.
It's the food show. We have another whole hour to go here. Allie's on the phone, and in case you're wondering, who's that other voice? That's
who's that
who it
crazy
is.
Crazy lady.
You have wide open space here for you to use. I hope you do call 260-6368.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.